continue to move through in our series on Advent. But before we go into the stories today, looking again at Luke chapter 1, I want to begin in a different place and just talk about a passage of scripture that Jesus told a parable. The parable was in Matthew chapter 7, and he told a parable, we have come to know it as the parable of the wise and the foolish builder. Now, it's a great little story. It's very memorable, easy to hold on to, and puts them into practices like a wise man. This wise man built his house on a rock, and the rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against his house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. You've probably heard this parable, haven't you? And then he flips the parable around and does a remarkable little contrast. And he says, but to everyone who hears these words of mine but does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who builds his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. Jesus used, when he taught in parables, often he would use this this idea of a contrast, because the contrast would be able to bring out, to illuminate the main point that he was wanting to make, though using a story to communicate that particular point. What are the other similarities? Because there's comparison also in this, but that the comparisons are what's going to highlight the contrast. The comparisons are, there are two different builders, two different paths, two different ways that Jesus is talking about. And we have to take one of those two paths. Everyone builds a house. There's no one in this story who's not building a house. There's no one in the story who's waiting to earn a future time to build a house. There's no one in the story who built a house a long time ago and is no longer in dealing with it. Everyone builds a house. Jesus is talking about how we have this path in life, that we are building something. But the question is, are we going to be wise or foolish depending on, again, whether we put his words to practice? The second piece, which is also similar, and again, this is going to highlight the contrast, is that everyone, the rain comes down, the streams rise, the winds blow, and they beat against the house. That is the challenge that all of us are going to face. That this is not something that just happens to those who are unwise, and the wise somehow get a chance to get skate through scot-free. No, there is a similarity. This is going to be a commonality, part of the human experience, that all build a house, and storms come to all. Now the difference is, and this is where the contrast, this is what Jesus wants to highlight for us, is whether or not we're building our life, building this house on the solid rock foundation of putting his words into practice. Have a look at it again today. It's Matthew 7. It's a great little story that begins to give a very simple message. And I'm not going to say oversimplistic, but a very simple message. That for those who place our trust in him, build our life on his words. Now, sometimes I have to admit, I know I talk to people all the time, and many people who place their trust in Christ, maybe they build their life on his words. They try to incorporate his words into their life and his teachings into their life. And yet, when they run across troubles and storms in life, they begin to wonder why. They begin to wonder why. Why is it I'm dealing with all of this trouble? You know, there is a misunderstanding or something that often gets shared around, the idea that somehow, that if I place my faith in Christ, that's going to somehow be a vaccine against the trouble of life. That somehow I will be immunized from trouble because I've placed my hope in Christ. And I think as you, again, trouble comes to all. Loss is suffered by all. The rains fall, the streams rise, the winds blow here today. I'm just saying that is life. In the midst of the joys of life, there's also, says this, I've told you these things so that you may in me have peace. Okay, so here's our word, our candle of peace today. How is it? Because in this world you will have trouble, but take heart. for I have overcome the world. Jesus never said that we would put our trust in Christ, we would build our life on his words, we would hear his words and put them into practice, and that would somehow put us on a path of easy street. He said, no, this would be the foundation that will enable you to somehow endure through the difficulties that are certainly on your way. Again, as we talked about in the prayer time, it's striking to me, and again, that the first two prayer requests on the list were one for a family celebrating the healthy birth of a precious little girl, and again, congratulations to John and Kat. But the second one was for a family mourning the loss of their little one-year-old son. And we see that that is kind of how life comes. And there is going to be times when we feel like we are taking a beating. 2020 feels like it's been one long beating after another, doesn't it? Always something going on, and always not the way we would want it to go. This restriction and this fear and this virus and this whatever, all of this stuff that comes at us. And then you put on top of that all the normal things that happen in any other year. Your aunt has fallen sick. Your dad passes away. You lose your job because of the shutdown. You find that your relationships are in trouble because of the extra stresses that get poured into it. The accident happens and this comes and you don't know what you're going to do. It's not 2020's fault. It's just life. Today, as we open up our passage back into Luke 1, I want to just hold that as our framework, because this is going to begin to give us a little bit of understanding what's being told here for us in these backstories that are preparation stories for the celebration of the coming of the Messiah. Last week, we looked at Zechariah and Elizabeth. And we saw that again, how God begins to work, how he works even when we have an inability for us to believe that God is going to be working. We're going to see today, as we look at more foundational stories, we're going to move into see the story of Mary. We're going to see, in the midst of our storms, we're going to see a story of a teenage girl who is about to encounter a storm of her own. And how it is that she responds to that storm, and how it is that God begins to reveal himself in this. Again, showing us how God works. These stories set the stage for us. And then Luke turns to tell us about Jesus. We're going to see that Jesus also is going to encounter difficulty and walk through these storms that come in our life. Okay, so let's take a look at Mary. We're going to turn back into Luke 1. We're going to begin at verse 26 today as we pick up the story. The story of Jesus begins with the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth last week. And in the midst of the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth, now we get introduced to a new character, one that we are more familiar with, and her name is Mary. So in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, see, we're still dealing with Elizabeth and Zechariah. God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, to a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. Now again, we don't get any backstory on Mary. We get introduced to her here. We get a little bit of personality to this storm. That's going to be key for us moving forward, and it's going to be key for us understanding the gospel that Luke is about ready to tell us. So the angel Gabriel comes to Nazareth to this virgin named Mary, and she appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." You know, I really wonder sometimes, as I go in my imagination back into the story, and I try to imagine what it would have been like to be a fly on the wall and see this. Is that really what the angel said? "Greetings." I don't know. Maybe. Maybe he said, "Hey," you know, "greetings." What kind of a greeting is this? Can you imagine? Can you imagine an angel of the Lord appearing to you and saying to you, "I'm about to give you some amazing news. Now, it's going to bring a whole lot of trouble down upon you, but it's amazing news, and we're going to start with this. The Lord is with you." Mary rightly is confused and she is disturbed, it says, and she tried to think what the angel could mean. And he said, "Do not be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." You know, this is part of the story that we're familiar with, isn't it? We know this part of the story of Jesus because this is the anticipation of his conception and his birth. But as we hear this, and we're already jumping ahead, aren't we? We're jumping into chapter 2. We're jumping into the scene of the manger and all the animals and the birth and the shepherds and all the rest, the angels. But for Mary, she can't see that far ahead. And so she hears these words that you will conceive and give birth to a son and you will name him Jesus and he'll be very great. She's saying, "Oh, great, I'm not even married yet. What are you talking about?" Storm clouds are beginning to gather around her, that she's beginning to wonder. She's going to conceive a child before she has come together with her soon-to-be husband. And so will her engagement even survive the trauma of that news? If it doesn't, what will it mean for her to be a single mom in that culture with no means of support? That would mean for her to somehow bring a child into the world with the shame and embarrassment that would cause her, the distancing, the shunning from her community and from her family, that would require the shame upon her family, that they would have to put her out, or else they would be put out from the community itself. There is so much going on here that this news, we think of it as good news because we know what chapter 2 says. We know that Jesus is going to be born and what a glorious thing that is with angels singing and shepherds gathering. But what we don't know is for Mary at this time to hear this news, how shocking and how troubling it would be. Her world is being turned upside down. That all the things that she thought were lining up, her upcoming wedding, the hopes and dreams of she and Joseph someday moving forward in life and starting a family, the role in the community that she had seen her parents walk out and knowing that that's all going to probably be stripped away from her. And yet here it is that she hears this news. Mary challenges the angel and she says, "How can this happen? For I am a virgin." And the angel replies, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you so that the baby to be born will be holy and he will be called Son of God. And what's more, your relative Elizabeth, who has become pregnant in her old age." Again, going back, that's the story we're in. Remember, it's Zechariah and Elizabeth's story. "People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month. For the word of God will never fail. For the word of God will never fail." What is the angel talking about? Certainly things are going to happen. Certainly trouble is going to come. Certainly challenges and sadness and difficulty and grief will be a part of the package, whether it be in 2020 or any other year. But the angel points to Mary that the word of God will never fail. And Mary responds, check this. You know, sometimes I know some people overestimate the role that Mary should be, but sometimes we underestimate the role of Mary as well. I want you to see this. This is an amazing statement of faith. "I am the Lord's servant," she said. "May everything you have said about me come true." And then the angel left her. And then the angel left. But it wasn't until this word came to her and she spoke this willingness to walk by faith. You know, as Mary considered how her world was about to be turned upside down, you know, there's all of this going on, and yet she is able to say, "I know that the word of God is good, and I am his servant. I pray that it will happen just as you have said." As we move towards Christmas and all the uncertainty that we're dealing with now with stay-at-home orders and all that's going on, we get upset, don't we? We get this sense of turbulence always in our spirit. You know, we start to calculate what that's going to mean. What will the cost be? You know, what we won't be able to do, who we won't be able to see. What is going to mean for us to do Christmas in such a different way? You know, what does it mean for when our family is healthy? But also, what about those who are dealing with sickness, whether it be with the COVID virus or other things, and the fear of going to the hospital? If you go, maybe you'll never see your loved one again. And how difficult this year has become for us, and we wonder, what cost? At what cost can I say that in the midst of this turbulence that I'm going to find peace with Christ, even in the midst of these times? Sometimes God comes and he calms the storms around us, but sometimes he invites us simply to find his calm in the midst of the storms. And that's what we see is going on here for Mary. The angel upends her life completely, and yet even in her, with her life being upended in the midst of all the future storms that are going to be blowing into her life, she now says, "May it be so, for I am the Lord's servant." There is a calm in her that is enabled to weather this storm because of the peace that she has. Not a peace built on everything being calm, but a peace that is built on her knowledge of this God who is now speaking through the angel to her. Situations are not completed, and yet she is able to see through the eyes of this faith to her. And I think it's part of it has to do with the same with our story. To move this direction is this ability to trust in the goodness of God. Paul, the Apostle Paul, would say later in the book of Romans, and as he is referring back to what does it mean for us to walk through challenges and to weather storms and to somehow come through, is in Romans 8:28, he says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." Hear this again, that God works for the good in all things for the good of those who love him. Child of God, beloved of God, hear that. That even in the midst of all things, even all things that you're going through right now, even all things that you are fearful which are coming down the road, all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to her purpose. This is after Mary's life. But if she had a theme verse, this would be it. That even as she hears the angel's words and she's good because he loves her, even through all things, the good things, the bad things, the times to celebrate, the times to grieve, in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And again, what were her words? "I am the Lord's servant." There is something of seeing his purpose in her that enables her to say, "I will trust him even through this storm. Even through this storm, I will trust him." This becomes the Mary passage, the Mary package that Luke then begins to build his story of Jesus upon. And as we see that and use this as a lens for what Luke is about to say, we're going to see Jesus comes, and it's going to begin to tell us how it is. We see that Jesus does exactly the same thing, facing opposition and challenge, even as we will face opposition and challenge, but recognizing that as he is walking in God's purposes, as we walk in God's purposes, that God will work through all things for our good. That may be hard to say to someone who's just lost their child. That may be hard to hear for someone who has just watched a loved one take a step in the wrong direction. That may be difficult to know when you have a child who is trapped in addictive cycles or stuck in abusive relationships. It may be hard to see that God could be working good through this. It may be difficult when there's a breakage in that relationship. It may be impossible to hear this when the job and the security and the money that you once thought you would have is now gone. But yet, that is the Mary path. Can we move in a way that says God is good all the time, even in the midst of all which is not good? because in all things God works for good. In all things. Not that he causes all things, not that all things are good, but that all things, in them, God will work for good, those who love him. That is the merry path, and it's what we too are invited to. I want to pray over us and then prepare our hearts for our time of celebrating the good news that Christ has opened this door for us, that we too can take the merry path because we take place our faith in the one who gave himself for us. So Father, I thank you for this morning as we prepare our hearts to celebrate again, to root our faith in you, to plant our building upon your foundation, to hear your words and to allow them to penetrate our heart, especially this word that says, in all things, you will work to be reminded of your good to us, that we would receive the assurance and the peace in the midst of the storms that surround us. So, Father, we thank you for these elements that we are about to receive as reminders, as tokens, as something tangible for us to hold on to be reminded of your goodness in the face of the storm. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.